Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
When Laura and Kevin first moved into the house, there wasn't anything unusual about the back bedroom. It sat at the end of a short hallway, smaller than the other rooms and without much of a defined purpose at first. For a while, it held moving boxes and things they hadn't decided what to do with yet. Later, it became a mix of storage and a place where their daughter Emily could spread out and play when she wanted space to herself. It wasn't a room anyone depended on, but it wasn't avoided either. The door stayed open most of the time, and people passed through it without thinking. Maggie used to go in there more than anyone. She had been with them long before the house, a steady, easygoing dog who didn't demand much but liked having her people nearby. She wasn't nervous or reactive. Most of the time, she moved through the house quietly, settling wherever things were calm. If the living room was busy, she would drift toward the hallway. If the kitchen was crowded, she would find a quieter corner. She didn't have one favorite place so much as a habit of finding the most comfortable one at any given moment. The back bedroom had been one of those places. It stayed a little cooler than the rest of the house, and in the afternoons it got just enough light to make it comfortable without being bright. Maggie would disappear in there for long stretches, especially on weekends when the house was busy. Laura would find her stretched out near the wall or curled up on the floor, completely relaxed. That was what made the change noticeable. It didn't happen all at once. At first, Laura just realized she hadn't seen Maggie in that room for a few days. It wasn't unusual on its own. Dogs shifted habits, especially in a new house. But when she opened the door one afternoon to grab something and called Maggie's name without thinking, the dog didn't come. Instead, Laura heard her behind her. Maggie had followed her down the hallway and stopped a few feet back from the doorway. She stood there, still and quiet, her head slightly lowered as she looked into the room. She wasn't tense, and she wasn't acting afraid. She just wasn't moving forward. Maggie didn't move. That was the first moment it felt off. She wasn't a stubborn dog. If Laura called her, she usually came, even if it took a second. This time, she stayed exactly where she was, watching Laura instead of following her. It felt less like hesitation and more like a decision. Laura didn't push it. She grabbed what she needed and stepped back into the hallway. Maggie relaxed almost immediately, turning and walking ahead of her as if nothing had happened. It was easy to brush off in the moment. Dogs had quirks. Maybe she didn't feel like going in there anymore. Maybe it would pass, but it didn't. Over the next few days, Laura started noticing how consistent it was. Maggie didn't wander into that room on her own anymore. She didn't pause at the doorway or glance inside when she passed by. She simply stayed out of it, as if the room no longer belonged to her. Kevin noticed it too, though he reacted the way he usually did, with a quick explanation and no reason to look further. He tried to coax her in with treats at first, standing in the doorway and calling her the way you would if a dog were just being difficult. Maggie would walk down the hallway and stop just short of the threshold, her attention fixed somewhere inside the room. She would take the treat from his hand without hesitation, then turn and walk away, never stepping inside. After a couple of attempts, Kevin gave up. "She just doesn't like that room," he said. Laura nodded, but it didn't feel that simple. What bothered her wasn't just that Maggie wouldn't go in. It was the way she behaved around the doorway. If the door was open, Maggie gave it space when she passed, curving slightly into the hallway instead of walking straight by. If someone stepped inside, she didn't follow. She stayed where she was, watching, always watching. Emily was the one who tried to push it. One afternoon, she decided to turn the room into more of a play space. She carried in a few books, a blanket, and some toys, spreading them out across the floor like she had claimed it for herself. Laura stood in the hallway for a minute watching her and noticed where Maggie had positioned herself, a few feet back from the doorway, not leaving, not coming closer. "Why won't she come in?" Emily asked, glancing over her shoulder. "She just doesn't want to," Laura said, keeping her voice light. Emily crouched near the doorway and called her. "Maggie, come here." Maggie didn't move. She tried again, more encouraging this time, patting the floor beside her. Maggie shifted slightly like she might step forward, but she didn't cross the threshold. Instead, she lowered herself to the floor right where she was, just outside the room, and stayed there, watching. Emily gave up after that and went back to what she was doing. After a while, Laura did too, but the image stayed with her. The dog wasn't just avoiding the room, she was holding a position. That evening, Laura mentioned it again. Not as anything serious, just pointing out that Maggie still hadn't gone into the room. Kevin shrugged it off the same way he had before, saying there was probably something about the room they didn't notice. A smell, maybe. Something small. Nothing worth worrying about. Laura let it go again. But that night, something shifted. She was walking down the hallway after putting Emily to bed, passing the back bedroom on her way to the living room. The door was open, the light off, and for a moment she paused without meaning to, looking into the room. Everything looked normal. The blanket was still on the floor. The toys were where Emily had left them. Nothing had moved. Still, she hesitated. She couldn't have explained why. Then she noticed Maggie behind her. The dog wasn't close. She wasn't at Laura's side the way she usually would be. She was a few feet back, standing in the hallway. And she wasn't looking at Laura. She was looking into the room. Laura stood there for a second longer than she meant to, then turned and walked away. Maggie followed immediately, her attention shifting back to Laura as soon as she moved. By the time they reached the living room, it felt like nothing again. Just a pause, just a moment. But later, when Laura thought about it, it didn't feel like nothing, because that was when it became clear that Maggie wasn't just avoiding the room. She was choosing not to go into it. And whatever had changed hadn't been there when they moved in. After a while, they stopped trying to get Maggie into the room. It wasn't something they discussed or agreed on. It just became easier to work around it. Emily moved her things back into the living room without much thought, and the extra storage that had ended up in the back bedroom slowly found its way into other parts of the house. The room didn't disappear from use completely, but it stopped being part of their daily routine. That should have been the end of it. Instead, the room began to feel separate from everything else. It wasn't something Laura would have described out loud, and if she had tried, it would have sounded vague. The temperature didn't change in any obvious way, and nothing in the room looked out of place. But when she passed by the doorway, there was a difference in how the space felt compared to the rest of the house. The hallway remained familiar. The kitchen and living room felt the same. Only that one room seemed to hold its own stillness, as if it didn't quite belong to the same environment. She kept that to herself. There were still reasonable explanations, and she leaned on them when she needed to. A room that wasn't used as often could feel different. Air didn't move the same way. Sound didn't carry the same way. None of it meant anything on its own. Maggie's behavior, though, didn't fit into that. The dog didn't just avoid the room anymore. She adjusted around it in a way that felt deliberate. If the door was open, she gave it space when she passed, angling slightly into the hallway rather than walking straight by. If Laura paused near the doorway, Maggie stopped as well, holding her position, instead of coming closer. It wasn't hesitation. It was a decision she made every time. One evening, Laura paid closer attention to it. She was alone in the house, finishing up a few things before settling in for the night, when she stopped in the hallway and turned toward the room. Maggie had been following her, as usual, but when Laura stepped closer to the doorway, the dog didn't follow. Instead, she stopped several feet back. Laura took another step forward, and Maggie held her position. There was no confusion in it, no shift, like she might change her mind. She simply stayed where she was, her attention fixed on the space inside the room. Laura stepped inside. Maggie didn't come any closer. That was different from before. Even when she had started avoiding the room, Maggie would still approach the doorway if Laura went in, keeping a distance but staying near enough to track her. This time, she remained farther down the hall, watching without moving forward. Laura stood in the room for a moment, looking around. Nothing had changed. The same things were still in place. There was no sound, no movement, nothing that would explain why the dog had stopped coming in altogether. It was just a room that no longer felt like part of the house in the same way. She didn't stay long. When she stepped back into the hallway, Maggie relaxed immediately, turning and moving ahead of her as if the moment had already passed. That was when the difference became clear. Maggie wasn't avoiding the room out of habit, she was choosing not to enter it. Kevin noticed the shift as well, though in a more practical way. He stopped trying to bring Maggie into the room, but he didn't avoid it himself. If he needed something, he went in, moved what he needed, and came back out. For a while, that seemed to separate the situation into something manageable. The dog had her reasons, whatever they were, and the rest of them could ignore it. That only held for so long. One night, while Laura was in the living room and Emily was already upstairs, Kevin went into the room to grab a box he had left against the wall. Laura could hear him moving things around, the faint sound of something shifting across the floor. Then it stopped. Not abruptly, but in a way that stood out against the quiet. A few seconds passed before he came back into the hallway. He carried the box out with him, moving at the same pace as before, but something about the timing of it lingered. Maggie was standing farther down the hall, watching him, in the same fixed way she had been watching the room. As he stepped out, she shifted slightly, widening the space between herself and the doorway. Kevin didn't react to it. The moment passed the way most of them did, without anything that forced it to be acknowledged. But later, when Laura asked about it, his answer didn't settle anything. He hadn't seen anything, and nothing had been out of place, but he had heard something while he was in there. It hadn't been loud or clear enough to define, just a sound that didn't belong to anything he had been doing. That was enough to change how they treated the room. They didn't stop using it completely, but they stopped lingering. The door stayed closed more often, and when it was open, no one made a point of stepping inside unless they had to. It became easier to move around it than through it. Maggie never crossed the threshold again. Not once. And over time, that became the most consistent thing in the house. Everything else still felt normal, except that room. And the dog that refused to go into it. The room didn't change in any obvious way. That was part of what made it so easy to keep living around it. Nothing looked different. Nothing sounded different. If someone walked through the house for the first time, there would have been nothing to point to and say something was wrong. The only real change was how they treated that space, and even that happened gradually enough that it never felt like a decision. They just stopped going in there unless they had to. The door stayed closed more often than not. When it was open, it was usually because someone had forgotten to shut it, and one of them would notice and close it again without thinking. It became part of the routine in the same quiet way everything else did. Lights off, doors checked, the house settling in for the night. Maggie adjusted to it without ever relaxing around it. She still moved freely through the rest of the house, following them from room to room, settling wherever things were calm. But whenever she passed that hallway, her behavior shifted in the same way it always had. She gave the doorway space, angled her body slightly away from it, and kept moving. If the door was open, she watched it as she passed, her attention lingering just long enough to show that she hadn't forgotten it was there. It didn't escalate. That was what made it easier to tolerate. There were no loud noises, no obvious disturbances, nothing that forced them to confront it directly. The house remained quiet, the room remained still. It existed as something separate, but not something that demanded attention. For a while, that was enough. Then something small happened that didn't fit. It was late in the evening, the house quiet in the way it had become familiar. Emily had gone to bed, and Laura was finishing up in the kitchen while Kevin moved through the last few things before settling in. Maggie was with Laura lying near the doorway, calm and still. The door to the back room was closed. Laura noticed it because she had closed it earlier herself. She finished what she was doing and stepped into the hallway, Maggie following a few steps behind. As she moved past the room, something caught her attention. It wasn't a sound or a movement, just a detail that didn't line up with what she expected to see. The door was open, not wide, just enough to be noticeable. Laura stopped. For a second, she tried to place it to convince herself she had left it that way without realizing it. It was an easy explanation, the kind she had used before for other things. But she remembered closing it. She remembered the feel of the handle, the quiet click when it shut. Maggie stopped behind her. Laura didn't turn right away, but she could feel the shift in the dog's posture without looking. When she did glance back, Maggie was standing in the hallway, a few feet away, her body angled away from the doorway in that same deliberate way. She wasn't moving forward, and she wasn't backing away. She was holding her position. Laura looked back at the door. Nothing else had changed. The room beyond it was dark, the shapes inside it indistinct but familiar. There was no movement, no sound, nothing that explained why the door was no longer where she had left it. She stepped closer. Maggie didn't follow. That alone was enough to make her hesitate. For a moment, Laura stood there just outside the doorway, looking into the room. It felt the same as it always had, quiet, contained, separate from the rest of the house, in a way she couldn't fully explain. There was nothing visible that suggested anything had happened at all. Still, she reached for the door. She pushed it closed. The movement was simple, controlled, the same action she had taken countless times before. The door met the frame and she felt it settle into place. For a second, she kept her hand on the handle as if waiting for something else to happen. Nothing did. She turned away. Maggie moved with her immediately, her attention shifting back to Laura as soon as the door was closed. The moment passed as quietly as it had begun, leaving nothing behind except the certainty that something hadn't lined up the way it should have. Laura didn't say anything about it that night, and she didn't need to. The next morning, the door was closed. Everything looked exactly the same. But something had changed. Not in the house, in the way they understood it. After that, they stopped treating the room as part of the house at all. They didn't use it. They didn't open the door unless they had a reason, and even then, they didn't stay long. It became easier to leave it alone than to question it. Easier to accept that something about that space didn't belong to the rest of their home. Maggie never went near it again, not once. And over time, that became the clearest answer they had. They didn't know what had changed in that room or when it had happened. They didn't try to give it a name or explain it in a way that would make it make sense. They only knew that the dog had recognized it before they did. And in the end, that was enough. Because whatever was in that room, Maggie had decided it wasn't a place she was willing to go. So they stopped going there too.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now, so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.